Well, as everyone knows, this is a special meeting, and the agenda's in the back. It has one agenda item, and I'll ask the general manager to introduce it. But first, I've asked Mr. Montanen to talk to us a little bit about government meetings and your participation. Mr. Montanen?
At the last board meeting, the district board asked me to give a statement regarding the conduct of the meeting, because we had been receiving complaints from some of the participants in the meeting that other participants were swearing at them or intimidating them or talking in the back of the room so they couldn't hear. So I wanted to say it again today for those here present that our goal here is to be able to hear all your comments, and we had hoped that everyone would be courteous enough to allow those who choose to testify to be given a time when they aren't interrupted by other comments in the back, by people threatening them or people coming up to them and questioning them on why they're here and what they're doing here, because we've had those comments too. And the way we intend to deal with that now is to first point out to the people doing this, if it occurs during the conduct of this meeting, that we'd like them to refrain from talking in the background or yelling things out in the back of the room to let the people speak. And if those folks choose not to follow our request, then we will call for a recess and allow the situation to calm down. As you can see, the sheriff is here, as he is on a lot of different occasions. And please. And I know it's not many of you here. A lot of you I've seen here a lot that testify. But we want to give everyone the opportunity, and the sheriff is here to help us in that situation if it gets out of hand. So we'd appreciate all your courtesy to everyone else that we can get through this and hear everyone's comment.
Thank you, Art. Appreciate that. Okay, General Manager Rudock, would you please introduce the agenda item as it's posted on the agenda?
Sure. And the staff report is primarily a repeat of the rates notice, except that I took for the fiscal impact section the financial information from the approved budgets that reflect the rate increase revenue. So I showed that with regard to this particular ordinance 03-2008 with property owners and tenant customers. And we made the proposals, as I stated earlier, for the 12 and 14% effective September 1st of 08 and 7109 respectively. We outlined within the rates notice and in the staff report that these bimonthly water and sewer rate increases are necessary and will be utilized to provide sufficient funds for the capital improvements and the capital outlay items. And we took it one level extra in this notice and actually itemized each one of the items that we would be purchasing, listing the capital projects by name, with the estimated costs and the capital outlay items, both in water and sewer. We propose here within the notice the chart that shows the bimonthly water rates and the bimonthly sewer rates. We also included within the notice the average customer of 12 units and showed that as a sample, and showed at the rate hearing and workshop the rates calculator. There were people who commented that that was very useful and very helpful to them. It was simple and it was on our web. And then I attached this time different the draft ordinance 03-2008, which just asks that you adopt these adjusted water and wastewater rates for the fiscal years 2008-2009 and 2009-2010. And it attaches the exhibit that was pulled directly from the rates notice that shows the charts for water and sewer fees. And that concludes staff's report.
Okay, thank you very much. I want to note that I forgot to mention the quorum. We'll note that Director Funky Ballou is not present yet, but I assume he's on his way. All the rest, of course, are here. Okay, with the introduction, then, you see from the staff report, the first recommendation is to receive that staff report and then to open the public hearing for testimony. And we'll do that now. Of the green slips that I have, unless the directors have any comments, I'm sorry, anything you want to say. The green slips that I have, I got the instruction that two of you request to be first. So I'll tell you who the two are, and then would you each make it, among you, between you, make the decision. Christina Dickerson. And we'll hear from whichever one of you wants to start. You're a coordinated group, so.
My name is Norman Fleming, resident of Cambria. Members of the board. President, vice president, secretary, and a source of income. We're a group of volunteers from the community. Responsible local government, and that's all we mean by that. And I could just make a comment to Tammy Rutter. For those of us who can't hear very well, if some of your comments could be directed to the audience. My hearing is all right, but my wife can't hear very well, and I'm sure there are others in the group. We talk right to them. We don't get voices and voice response in the back. That's all I have to say. I defer the rest of my time to Cindy Dickinson.
Norm, could you answer a question?
Oh, no questions. I'm not authorized to answer questions.
Well, you have to stay availability within your group, correct?
Well, we have, we collect funds from volunteers.
So you do have funds within your group?
A small number of funds, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Cindy Dickinson. Tina, excuse me.
The next speaker then will be Tina Dickinson.
Good evening to the board, the staff, and members of the community. My name is Tina Dickinson, and I am a Cambria resident. And on tonight, on behalf of the many Cambrian superintendent residents who have exercised their democratic right under Proposition 218, I do hereby submit to the district clerk, Kathy Choate, 2,468 protests against CCSD's proposed rate increase of May 23rd, 2008. Please let the record show the delivery of said 2,468 protests by Tess Wright and Edna Canary at this time. Thank you.
Okay, the next speaker will be Mary.
The agency shall conduct a public hearing upon the proposed fee or charge not less than 45 days after mailing the notice of each identified parcel upon which the fee or charge is proposed for imposition.
If the written protests against the proposed fee or charge are presented by a majority of owners of identified parcels, the agency shall not impose the fee or charge. In answer to a public records request dated June 9, 2008, Tina Dickinson asked the CCSD to provide the number of parcels targeted for a rate increase. Through Tina, the Cambrians for Fiscal Responsibility was given a single-spaced list of 53 pages of parcel numbers, and this is what the list looked like. Single-spaced with 630 of these, which are duplicates. Of these 53 pages of parcel numbers, no explanation were given to CFR on why many parcel numbers appeared many times on the list. One appeared 47 times. Cambrians for Fiscal Responsibility entered into the daunting task of identifying parcel owners in order to send protest forms and additional information to voters, matching parcel numbers up to a non-existent database with absolutely no guidance by the CCSD was quite challenging. It's a good thing I like a challenge. On June 24th, I submitted 3 pages worth of questions regarding this rate notice to the general manager via email and submitted those same questions in writing at a CCSD meeting June 26th. I asked many of the questions on my list at that meeting, and not one of them was answered in writing, by phone, or in public at that June CCSD meeting. Every question I had was critical to determining who actually received protest notices and the methodology the CCSD was going to use in order to determine who was eligible to vote and how the votes would be counted. The general manager could simply have stated, "We sent rate notices to all the owners and tenants of the parcel numbers we gave you and no others." That would have answered most of my questions and would have led to answers of the additional questions I had, thereby avoiding more staff time and more CCSD meeting time. Time is money. Answering a simple statement like that would have been fiscally responsible, but the CCSD chose not to answer. Late last week, the CCSD published their staff report on the website for today's meeting. For the first time since these questions were submitted over a month ago, one very important question was finally answered. Lo and behold, the CCSD reported that they mailed out 4,547 rate notices, which equals the total number on this list, plus 630 duplicates. Cambrians for Fiscal Responsibility believe the actual count of parcel numbers, therefore property owners and or tenant ratepayers eligible to vote in this election, is 3,000 to be entered into the record for this July 14th protest hearing. A representative for Cambrians for Fiscal Responsibility should be present when votes are counted and given valid reasons if any protests are not counted in the final tally of protests. One parcel, one vote. It's that simple. And these are the things I'd like to be entered into the record today.
The next speaker is Art Chapman.
My name is Art Chapman. I live at 660 Ashby Lane. I'm a ratepayer. I checked the website today for financial data to support the project detail that will be funded by the rate increases. And the only thing I really found was Ms. Ruddick's article in the Cambrian posted giving us the whys. But I didn't see anything about the whats. Now, I got a little bit about the whats this evening when I came today, because I got some detail about what the projects entail and what those projected costs are. Attorneys are really good at giving us whys, but accountants and financial managers are much better at giving us the whats. And as a ratepayer, I want to know the whats. I want to know what the money is going to be spent for. I want it accounted for, and I want to see that it is accounted for responsibly. I'm supportive of the rate increases. I think we need our infrastructure improved, and I want to know that this infrastructure is going to be good in the long run. I plan to be here for a doggone long time. Now, my kids probably want me to go earlier so they can take over my house, but trust me, I plan to be here for a long time. With the vote, the previous vote, you got the message that the community's pretty upset and you lost her trust. So what I'm proposing for the board is I'd like for you to request the draft ordinance to direct staff to publish on their website on a regular basis, preferably monthly, but I think realistically quarterly, the budget where we would be paying. And I would implore you as directors and as our surrogates to hold staff responsible for communicating on a regular basis and accurately and fully this information. And with that, I believe you will be able to help reestablish the trust of the community. You'll see that our money is being spent financially responsibly. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chapman. The next speaker is Stan Balcom. And the speaker following him will be Heidi Cantos, if she'd be prepared.
I'm Stan Balcom, Cambria resident. And I would just comment that there clearly has been a disconnect between the directors and the staff and the community. I think we all recognize that. I think we have to find a way to work together to reestablish trust and respect in both directions. I'll like to yield the rest of my time to Jerry McKinnon.
Hello, my name is Heidi Santos. That's S-A-N-T-O-S. I have had a temporary home here in Cambria since 1988 and a permanent home since 1998. And in all these years, the issue always has been water. And I don't think it has changed a bit over all these years. So what I did today, I looked at the CCSD goals. And the CCSD goals, the number one goal was provide high quality water, wastewater, fire, and other community services. I was very much in favor of providing high-quality water and wastewater. I looked up what our director's goal is, Tammy Ruddock. Is that how you pronounce it? Ruddock. And it says, to oversee water resources planning. And I would like to see that also. Generally, I'm in favor of increasing the rates. I think it makes sense. I think the time has come to increase this and do something better with it. I also looked at the CFR report, and it was talking about bonds. And I'm much more in favor of that money and dish out the rate increases as you come along and make sure that we get what we need. If we are going to have bonds in addition to that, I would like for the bonds to provide us high-quality water and wastewater and fire and other community services, which I feel we are lacking. I'm not necessarily saying we're lacking community services. I think we do a lot in that area. But I think we're really lacking providing high-quality water. More water, better water. All the communities around us have, in these 20 years that I'm observing this, solved that issue. In Cambridge, this has been an issue for 20 years. I don't see a resolution to that. And I really would like to do that. And I would like to have a director... And I would like to have a director of CCSD that oversees water resources planning as her first responsibility, like the goal says in her job description. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Mary Suzanne, is it Duckett or Bucket? I'm sorry.
My name is Mary Suzanne Duckett, and my lot number is lot 42. I've owned it for 35 years. I bought it when I graduated from Cal Poly, and I have allowed probably 98% of all of you to become my neighbors. I was not selfish. I did not apply for a water meter because I knew I was not going to build for many, many years. My daughter is now going to Cal Poly in September, and I expect to build on my lot. This board has been extremely delinquent in providing water for this community over the last 35 years that I've owned this lot. This kind of thing would never have happened in Thousand Oaks because there we have lawyers that come down on the city when there's a problem against public safety and welfare, and they sue. Big time. I know a perfect lawyer to take you guys on. And we'll have this problem fixed. You cannot ask people, all these people, most of them on fixed incomes, to pay for more water that they're not getting. Right. And when we make a pledge to the flag for justice for everyone, we expect you to uphold that. This is not just. So in the future, I would recommend to everybody out sitting out there and to the public at home that you find good lawyers, even mob lawyers if you have to. It's not funny. They know how to do it. And they will finally give it to you good so that you're paying big time. This is not, you are not acting in the public safety and welfare of this community, nor have you been for many, many years. And I'm welcoming everybody out here in the community who's been able to take advantage of this wonderful community over the last 35 years that I own my lot. And I expect to speak to somebody tomorrow morning about this in your in your public building, and I will find out where that is. But I want an appointment for tomorrow morning, since I'm still here in the community. But I know how to do it, and I know it can be done. So I expect you to bring the facility, the water, to this community. It's outrageous. If there's a fire here, everybody's going to be out of luck. Out of luck. So I expect you to do your job. And I'm going to be watching. And you're going to be seeing me much more often. Thank you.
Somebody have a comment? John Eilers. And following him will be Paul Jones.
I'm John Eilers. I'm a resident of Cambria, and I'm here to support the board. I have noticed that many Americans think we live in a democracy. That is actually incorrect. From the national government through the state and down to the local level, we have a representative government. You are our local representatives. You do our work for us. I'm calling on the silent majority of Cambrians who have sat back and watched you receive.
And following him will be Ron Keck.
I'll try to be brief. My name is Paul Jones.
I'll just note I've been that, please just take 3 minutes. That's the standard.
Well, I don't expect to take 3 minutes.
Okay, thank you.
May I continue?
You may.
My name is Paul Jones. I'm a Cambria resident, have been a full-time Cambria resident since 1990. And I won't go into a lot of detail about my experiences with the CCSD, but they have not been happy. I look at this list of salaries, and I observe that we are paying for first-class service. We are not even getting third-class service, not even the low end of third class. I had occasion to have some plumbing repairs made on my house about a year ago, and we called the CCSD to have the water shut off. They sent out a young man with a large wrench and a truck. He couldn't turn the water off. The valve was defective. So he threw the wrench in his truck and said, "Oh, well, it's only running a little bit," and he left. I called the CCSD again on it, and I talked to some people, and finally another man got sent out. Well, I won't go into a lot of detail, but I finally wrote a letter of protest to Ms. Ruddock and also to Mr. Jim Davis. And my answer to that was to get a phone call from Mr. Jim Davis, who proceeded to call me a liar, which I did not appreciate. However, in the long run, he did send out another man finally, who finally admitted that the valve was defective. He couldn't turn it off. So he said, "Well, I'll disconnect the valve at the meter and let the water run on the ground, and then you can do your work while the water runs all over the place and generates mud, which will flow into your water system, and you can have a dandy time." So I am not very happy with the CCSD. Thank you.
Elizabeth Bettenhouse will be the speaker after Mr. Keck.
Ron, I get another form, same form, but this time I get a stamped envelope instead of a non-stamped one to mail it back. And I know they're working very hard to stop this. I hope they work just as hard to secure some water for this community. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Keck.
Madam President, my name is Elizabeth Bettenhausen, and I have just a brief comment. The Proposition 218, the official name for it was the Right to Vote on Taxes Act back in 1996. And Section 5 of it read then, and still does, quote, liberal construction. The provisions of this act shall be liberally construed to effectuate its purposes of limiting local government and enhancing taxpayer consent. End of quotation. We could also put it in slightly different words. The provisions of Prop 218 shall be interpreted to make sure that local government is limited and taxpayer and utility ratepayers' decisions are more powerful. That's what it means to enhance. And we know from the Supreme Court decision of California 2 years ago that it includes utility ratepayers as well as taxpayers. More than 2,000 property owners and tenants to whom CCSD serves water, potable water, and sewage removal have protested the CCSD's current proposed rate increase for that service. Cambrians for Fiscal Responsibility understood that direct democracy is alive and well in town, and it's the basis of representative democracy. I thank the members of Cambrians for Fiscal Responsibility for teaching me, who often thinks she knows a lot, but I thank them for teaching me that democratic optimism is more powerful than self-interested cynicism. We Cambrians must hold elected, appointed, and hired public officials to account. Right now, this evening, we need to know all the criteria that CCSD intends to use and will use in determining the validity of and the counting of the protest votes. The burden is on local government, according to Prop 218, to prove beyond a shadow of each and every ballot. The purposes of Prop 218, to conclude, limit local government. That was the point. And the other point was to enhance the power of the protest and consent of the people. Thank you.
The next speaker is Jerry McKinnon. If you can't hear me, then I'm sorry, but Jerry McKinnon, and I'm taking these in the order they came in. I didn't mention that at first. The speaker after Jerry will be Edgar Kinnerick.
Jerry McKinnon, Cambria resident, speaking as chairman of the Concerned Citizens for Fiscally Responsible CCSD Rates Committee, otherwise known as the CCFFRCCSD. We are not the CFR. This evening marks another test of wills. The will of the CCSD board to increase water and wastewater enterprise rates and to use those funds in ways that are not acceptable to the will of a large number of Cambria ratepayers. Please hold one thing in mind. If or when this proposition, use of Proposition 218, is successful, we, the Rates Committee of the Concerned Citizens for Fiscal Responsible CCSD, is standing by ready to help. On certain specific issues, we can find agreement between Cambrians and the CCSD board. However, the board at this time is using credit card solutions by appearing to be rich while going into debt. That is, Cambria would borrow money to increase enterprise reserves without having any specific reason for having the money other than to look rich and be ready for unplanned capital improvements or unexpected emergencies. In other words, increase debt for no specific reason. Then there's the question, why borrow money to pay for a completed Pine Knolls tank project? Is that what our general staff manager calls residual debt proceeds? I still call it credit card mentality. Other issues with the figures given to us, we have proposed specific rates which would accomplish all the goals the staff wanted to accomplish, balancing enterprise operating budgets as well as accumulating operating reserves, financing certain capital improvements and capital outlay expenses. But never, never have we had across-the-table discussions with you and the staff at the same time about our specific proposals. Too often we have heard you say that your paid staff are the experts and no one else's facts and figures amount to anything. Your time is up. Thank you. You are dismissed. Let us work together and avoid the doom and gloom.
Order and the clapping and sounding when people are speaking. It makes it difficult to hear the speaker.
Excuse the interruption. Let us work together and avoid doom and gloom predictions such as sink into an abyss of 20-plus years of neglect and muddle through a broken system and no way out, as one of your board members publicly announced. Instead, show us that, in the words of one of your other members, I want to know what my constituents have to say. Our form of government is a republic. You are our representatives. Such is the importance of citizens in a democracy determining whether to borrow money or to cast votes on bonds. And as such, together, we develop viable solutions. Remember, there's more than one way to skin a cat, and it helps to have permission of the cat. Thank you.
The next speaker after Mr. Kinnerick will be Frank D'Amico.
My name is Edgar Kinnerick, and this is democracy in action. Doesn't it warm the cockles of your heart? You don't seem too happy about it. Anyway, several months ago, volunteers blocked a water and weight increase, utilizing the 218 protest, a rare and potent initiative giving the individual, such as myself, the right to stand up to the powers, notably the CCSD. The protest was successful. Now we're engaged in details of the contracts, the terms, the fees, the costs. The general manager has generalized in vague terms why the CCSD must have the staggering loan. Not even a loan on a pay-as-you-go, but a long-term loan on which we will be paying a huge interest over and above the interest paid into the reserve fund. The CCSD cleverly piggyback this loan item into the 218 protest. The plan being, if the protest fails, the loan, mysterious as it may be, shall go through. The loan is a separate issue and must go through a public vote. Not to be able to vote on this most important issue is untenable. Three directors on the CCSD board have written copious pieces on the merit of their good work, and yet they have not once clarified what the debt issue would entail. The CCSD used numerous ploys to thwart the 218 protest, even enlisting the Cambrian to advise its readers to not sign the protest petition. The thoughtful participation of Cambrians who really want to know where their money is going and who are insisting upon full disclosure, transparency, and honesty from their elected officials will bring about the true democracy we all cherish. Thank you.
I guess Mr. D'Amico's not here. Following him will be Valerie. If Ms. Valerie Benz, if you'll come forward, that would be good.
This is great, what I heard so far. It's interesting that what I usually hear in the public venue for the upcoming elections, it might be his to lose, and that certainly is the case here. This was yours to lose. I worked with a lot of other people here and Jerry McKinnon's group for 7 or 8 months putting together rate proposals, and I have to say I personally was not objectioned I did have no had no objections to the 12% and 14% as it was laid out by us and by what you had. What was yours to lose was this arcane, complicated, and almost ridiculous thing of going out and taking money, a loan, a debt instrument, which is another weasel word, to take out $8.1 million. As you'll remember, there was a meeting held, and it was, you're not fiscally able to at this point, and you're going for this debt instrument, then you're doing nothing different than all those people who went for subprime loans. If we don't have the capital structure to be able to go to any good equity firm to raise a bond, to float a bond, then we shouldn't be going out for a debt instrument. In the 1990s, I privatized with my utility company that I worked for, City of West New York, City of Jersey City, Indianapolis, Milwaukee Wastewater, and Atlanta Water. Every time we negotiated with them, every one of them steadfastly said, we will never mortgage our assets. We will never give you title to any of our assets. We will raise money, we will allow rate increases, but we will never let any private company have our assets. From what I understand, the debt instrument you're talking about is to take the Pine Knolls tank or anything we've already completed and take out, quote, a mortgage, a second mortgage. It's not a second because we paid them off. And that's when you lost me, and that's why I think you lost a lot of people. So hopefully if this does work properly today and things are counted properly and there is no rate, I think the public venue should be used to talk about it. And let's talk about a rate increase for operating costs, for maintenance, and for a reserve. Then there should be a public motion and a public venue for you, the board, to present arguments for capital monies, and that money should only come through a bond. Because there's also most bonds, and I signed bonds in my life, have covenants on how you spend. It's like taking out a builder's loan. You take out a loan to build a house. That bonding company is going to assure, well, you're legally obligated, if I remember, to build that house. Taking out this loan and putting $8 million in the coffers for a list that you have, we know that you have no obligation to do that list. If something comes out in the thoughts of what you may have in the future to do, you can spend it that way because it's going to be in one big, large reserve fund. So what I want and what I expect the people, I think what the people of the community are trying to say, we want to see which of the projects, when they'll be built, which we had a list of, but why do we need to finance all of these projects at this time, and again, to mortgage two pieces of equipment, this biosolids dewatering, and a pine, I mean, you just commemorated the Pine Knoll storage tank, and now you want to sell it and release it back. It's
I'm hearing and understanding quite well what you're saying, but what I don't hear are in people, in many people's voice, that they've actually read what the document that was sent out to you, because so many of the things you're asking are in there, as far as I'm concerned. So I hope that we can discuss that at some other time or whatever, because I don't understand why it's not. I'm looking at it right here, and I don't see it in your understanding. So somehow that you didn't understand what's written in the document. Valerie, go ahead, please.
I'm Valerie Betts, and I've lived in Cambria since 2001. And I'm here to support the tremendous effort that the Cambrians for Fiscal Responsibility have accomplished. I deeply admire their effort and their work. And I think I've heard many people tell me personally why they signed those protests. And it is because many people in this community are really hurting financially. People are on fixed incomes. People are concerned about the way money is being spent by the CCSD. I admire the work of a group called, a website put out by Amanda Rice about Cambria with lots and lots of detail. And I have read the report that Joan spoke about, but I see a disconnect because there is a lot of data about a lot of money being spent, exorbitant benefit packages that most people in Cambria could only dream of and never hope to achieve, even though they have wonderful credentials. all kinds of issues like that in the face of this, plus the loan, to ask for a rate increase just seems unconscionable to me. And I really admire the budget committee. I sat in with them a couple of times, and I just don't understand why the staff and the CCSD board and that wonderful, brilliant budget committee can't sit down together and work this out.
Howard Valens, followed by Jane Smith.
Howard Valens, Cambria resident, 15 years. I came here to speak on one point, but I'm going to increase it to 2 points. My first point is, when I arrived, I saw a sheriff's car out in front. And I want to tell the people that are here and anybody who's watching that there's a government code section by the board and an attempt to deprive citizens of the opportunity to speak to this board. But what I did come here to speak to you about was the change in the law slightly with respect to 218. And I'd like to...
Excuse me, sir. How has the police in any way impeded any of your rights?
First thing, every board meeting I've been to, I have not seen the sheriff showing up at board meetings. And we started off this board meeting before you were here, and your district council, in essence, advised everybody that they should maintain the decorum, and if the decorum is not maintained properly, the sheriff will take action. So I wanted to make sure that you were aware of that occurred before you got here.
Yeah, but hasn't there been a sheriff's deputy almost every... I've been here 8 years on the board. I can count, unless, you know, on one hand, maybe the times a sheriff has not shown up at a meeting.
Then answer this question. Why is it that the citizens of Cambria...
Question. Answer my question first, and then I'll answer yours.
Well, I believe the sheriff is here for the purpose of intimidating the people to speak their mind and criticize the agency. Second, my question is, can you explain to me why you have taken the right of people to use the overhead projector all these years and taken that right away? Not you personally.
Where in the government code do people have a right to use the CCSD's projector?
So you would say that as a pattern, a course in conduct, that where Cambrians
have had the
opportunity.
I'll answer. Now it's your turn. You're an attorney. Tell me where in the government code the law provides people to use CCSD property.
The first thing, the people in this town paid for the property or contribute to that property.
Who pays for it? Who pays for it? Before you have
the revenues that are generated.
Wait. Who pays for it?
The people of this community pay for all of the assets that are used here. The expenses that you pay for, the videographer, the machinery there, it is our property.
Well, I guess therefore you pay for the sheriff. You might as well tell him to just leave.
I do pay for the sheriff because I pay my property taxes.
Well, why don't you tell him to leave then if you would pay for
it? You weren't here at the beginning. You didn't see the intimidation tactic. But I would like to address the issue that I came to speak on. And that was, and let me quote that there, Al Gore. And he said, quote, "The first lesson is this. Take it from me, every vote counts." And there has been concern with respect to the method of counting votes for purposes of this election. And as board members and directors, and I'm sure council already knows this, there is a Section D of the California Constitution. I'm here to suggest that we have an open process in terms of counting the votes, that if the League of Women Voters is involved, but I would prefer to have the county clerk who does these types of votes, that this specific section, and I have a copy for each director if you would like, and district council, that we actually follow the law with respect to who has a vote in this town and in terms of counting either the landowner or the tenant as one vote. One vote, one parcel. Thank you.
While Jane Smith's walking up, Bill Warren will be the follow.
Mr. Chairman?
I'm sorry.
I wanted to point out that we were aware of that section. In fact, Tina Dickinson brought it to my attention, and I found it on my email service with all the other government attorneys in the state. And even though it was not in effect during the last count, we did follow that section. We're aware of it now, and we're going to follow it again. I don't know why there's any doubt of that, but that's the way it was done before.
Could I just ask a question?
Thank you, Mr. Patel.
Based on what Mr. Valance says, does that imply that if you don't indicate the property that you're voting for, in other words, the legal description, you may have an invalid vote?
We have to be able to tell from the protest from which property it comes and who signed the protest, and that's why we suggested that they either type or print their name so we could, because a lot of times we can't read the signatures. Those are the types of things that the League of California, League of Women Voters, will look at, as they did last time when they look at the votes that are submitted.
Thank you very much. Mr. Montana, Jane, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Jane Smith. I've lived in Cambria since 2000. My husband is Dale Smith. We live on Berwick Drive. I am also an attorney. I graduated from Bolt Hall, and I practice in public finance, and so I'm familiar with bonds and other debt securities. And I must say, I graduated in 1885, and in the course of doing a lot of bond work, municipal finance, it's very common that the constituency does not appreciate the hard work of the board and how difficult it is to take scarce resources and accomplish all that is asked of you. And so I commend the board for your efforts and your diligence and your effort. However, as a citizen,
Richard DeVega will follow up. Mr. Warren.
Bill Warren, I'm not an attorney. My wife and I have lived here full-time for over 20 years. I don't think anybody likes a rate increase. At least I have not talked to anybody who does. I've had a chance to study the issues the last few weeks and few months. I've had a chance to talk to people on both sides of the issue, and I've come to the conclusion that if we want to maintain the kind of quality of life that we all want, we have to maintain and build the infrastructure that's needed to have that quality of life. I think the directors and the staff in particular have done a nice job in explaining the increases and have done a nice job in justifying them, and I, for one, am very much in favor of them. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bill. Thank you. Following Mr. DeVega will be John Rummel.
Good evening. My name is Rich DeVega, and I'm a proud member of CFR. I come before you tonight for several purposes. One is to agree with the board about the need for improving the quality of our infrastructure. One of my main concerns, and I think concerns of many Cambrians, is that out of the money we give you, 48% of it goes to salary and benefits. That doesn't help our sewer plant one bit. Okay, that doesn't help our water system one bit. It puts manpower out there, manpower who are driving vehicles that are incredibly old, and from one of the gentlemen that spoke, people who are unable to perform the duties that they need to when they come out to the service, to do the service at the homeowner. So I would ask you why it is that the community of Cambria has a benefit package that no one has. Not federal employees, not state employees. No one has pensions that are like the pensions of CCSD. No one has. No one has health benefits paid almost exclusively by the company, which is us. Okay. No one has pensions that the employee does not contribute a penny to. All paid by us. And then we have something to talk about. I also have 12 additional protest forms from citizens of Cambria, and I'd like to know who those should be submitted to.
The district clerk. Well, Mr. Rummel is walking up. I want to say I've been on the personnel committee for all the years I've been on the board, and I can tell you that our rates are not the highest of anybody ever. They are not. We have the data for that. But just for the audience to hear that one person standing up, and for I don't know how he knows that there are no rates lower than ours or higher than ours or as good as ours, because I'm telling you it's not true. So I have my opinion, and he has his. Thank you, Mr. Rowell.
John Rummel. I live on Windsor Boulevard, and I wasn't going to say this, but to tag on, the salaries is the only line item in your budget that drops, and it drops in absolute terms, not in inflated terms. So it's the one place your rate increase is not going. I understand, I agree with Bill, that nobody likes a rate increase, but I'm really concerned that this campaign has become more about the CCSD than a rate increase. You know, gasoline has gone up a lot more than the rates are going, and we have no power over gasoline whatsoever. So I have the feeling that this is something, particularly after the 218 victory, that we feel we have power on it. It's one of the very few things in this confusing world right now that we think we can control, and we're taking it out on you. And I apologize for that. To me, the idea of a rate increase for water is kind of a no-brainer. As I read it, we haven't had rate increases. There's almost no history of it. There seems to be general agreement that our infrastructure sucks. We had a consultant who justified a lot higher increase. If the CCSD were trying to self-aggrandize and build a monument to themselves, they wouldn't be investing in underground pipes, tanks, and biosolid disposal. You see Greg Sanders in the future? Hey, grandson, that's my tank. They'd be going after Cadillacs or something else. This is not an ego trip that's gone nuts. There are a couple of things that aren't in your rate increase that make me mad. One is the building replacement program. Everybody in Cambria wants it to stay about the way it is and not grow. You're the first board that I know of who's tried to do something about it. If it weren't for us, the county would be planning on a growth of 20,000 people. The general fund that you're not funding with this rate increase is like a rainy day fund. If you need any financial advice, first thing they tell a kid, try to get 6 months of salary. So you were forced down to not have a general fund, which would allow you to take advantage of emergency opportunities without having to wait 3 years. The people of this town have talked you into being penny wise and pound foolish. I've heard some silly things tonight that you five people were able to tell Kathy Tanner and Bert Etling what to do. No one can tell Kathy Tanner what to do. I've tried. You are planning debt for capital improvement. That's a bad thing. That argument is as old as people who say you shouldn't have a mortgage for a house. Nobody waits till they can afford a house to buy the whole thing. They all use mortgages. You're making a capital improvement. Why should I pay for a capital improvement that's going to last for the next 30 years? Let's have the people who live over the 30 years pay for it. I sincerely believe, because of the kind of things I've heard up here tonight, that the opponents in general are not interested in the best things for Cambria. Question the objectivity of the League of Women Voters. They're about the only organization in the whole world after the United Way went down that I can believe in. And as I said, the salary is the only line item that dropped, and you've been accused of padding your salaries. I'm really reminded, I've thought often about how I would feel if I lived in Los Osos, because I don't want to get involved in the government. I want you guys to do the job. I like to come when it's something fun, but biosolids and underground pipes are not fun, and I don't know anything about it, and you're the expert. In Los Osos, a bunch of people got about 50% of the vote, and they recalled a board that had worked long and hard over an unpleasant solution to a problem that they must solve by federal mandate. They lost their outside financial support. They bankrupted the town. And they lost, finally, their own sovereignty, so they no longer get to plan for themselves. The county's going to do it. They still face the same problem. They'll probably have greater costs than they did before, and they certainly have less control over they did before. They're the butt of jokes. They're polluting their neighbors. And I've heard that even in the halls of Congress, people refer to the Los Osos problem.
The last two speakers are John Bide, and then Ann Wyatt will be our last speaker.
Very good. Here, John Bide, and I'm at 4910 Windsor Boulevard, Cambria. But we've had property here since 1997. I've lived here for, 10 years now. In 2000, I can remember at the Friday farmer's market, I was talking to Vern Kalshan, who happened to be running for CCSD at the time, who was against the desal. He didn't want any more water. He didn't want any more growth. He didn't want any more population. I told him at the time, I said, this is going to be the most expensive area you can ever live in. And now, 10 years later, this is what it's become. Now, we have a CCSD board that we've elected. I don't see all these other people running for the CCSD offices. And when you elect a president, when you elect a congressman, do you tell him you want a special report for yourself every month? This is ridiculous. You're asking the board to do all this extra work, and this is one of the reasons that we need to pay this board, because of the work that they do. We're asking them to do more than they should be doing. In other words, we give them a plan, and we say, this is what your responsibilities are. This is what we want you to accomplish. At the end of the year, if they haven't accomplished it, fire them. That's what you do in business, and this is a business. But I think the board has done tremendously well, and I really thank all of you for your efforts, your time. And I'm amazed at this town, because I have heard so many complaints. One woman owned a lot for 35 years, has done nothing to get a water meter, and now is complaining you didn't do anything. Well, we have to take our own responsibility, and if we can't do that, we don't deserve to live here. That's it.
Thank you, John. Amanda, and then Ann.
This moves toward best management practices and applaud the changes that have been made in that direction. In making my own decision about whether to protest the rates, I considered the following questions. Has the CCSD proved their case for an increase to my satisfaction? What happens if the rates are refused again? And what's my motivation for the protest? What message do I have other than I don't want to pay more or I can't afford to pay more? Because I didn't want it to be some kind of vengeful thing to come after you because you didn't agree with something that I said. The answer to the first question, has the CCSD proved their case for an increase to my satisfaction, to me was one of the most important questions. And my answer was no. When I asked how much it cost to deliver water to my home and take away the wastewater, I was treated to an explanation that more closely resembled a justification than a specific explanation of the cost of service. The case made in the rates increase notices seemed to boil down to there's been years of mismanagement, and an inattentive or misguided board is now determined to instantly make a perfect district. Instead of cutting expenses to cover the shortfall, which was about $100,000, the district asks for more money and more capital projects. I just want to close by saying I really hope that the board will reconsider its attitude toward involving the public in the process of making decisions about policy. Thank you.
Thank you. And final speaker, then Ann Wyatt.
Hi, Ann Wyatt. If I'd known I was going to have the last word, maybe I would have prepared something to say tonight. But I came up here mostly to express support and appreciation for the work that your board does and the staff. It's a difficult job trying to find the compromise. here between differing needs. And the other point I just wanted to make that I haven't heard tonight from people is that water is precious, and I'm not sure there's a supply. And I know there are a lot of people out there who aren't interested in doing this, and a lot of this controversy now and vote is not just really because of line items in your budget or dissatisfaction with the job you're doing, that it's an effort to stop the finding of the secondary water supply. And I'm a bit frustrated by that reality. And third, I guess along those lines, that we're all going to have to pay more. We're going to have to use less. We're going to have to find some auxiliary water supply, and we're going to have to pay more. And it's not going to make a lot of people happy. And so I appreciate the work that your board and staff is doing. And I guess I'd ask everybody here tonight and people listening to this in other places to realize that it's a difficult decision, and those choices aren't going to make us happy, and we're all going to have to change our ways. But we need to serve the owners like Ms. Was it Bucket, or who has waited 35 years, and a lot of others, to get water to her lot. And in order to do that, get that supply, and treat those people fairly, I fully believe that some other source is needed, and that in order to complete the buyout and not supply some lots, we're going to have to pay more to do that. And so I think your board has worked diligently. I've watched you and worked with you on projects over the last decade and more on projects to do this. And I don't think you're far off. And I would encourage you to continue and pursue. And I would encourage people here today and listening to support you rather than work against you, that you're going in the right direction, and that you need support in doing that. And if people don't want to grow and want things just as they are, that it's not fair to our future neighbors and fellow lot holders. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for those words, Ann. I just say with your name as W, you should know you're going to be last. So. Any rate, there is one other person who sent their slip up, and that's Hyla Donnell.
I wish to present to the board a thank you to all the Cambrians who helped the Cambrians for Fiscal Responsibility to work with this Prop 218. Thank you for taking the time to evaluate and express your opinions to the CCSD, to us, your comments on the CCSD's work and how our local government can improve. Thank you for taking the time to carefully consider Cambria's future and ensuring fairness in our water and sewer rate structures. And finally, thank you for helping all Cambrians achieve fairness in rate structures, public awareness of CCSD's actual revenues and expenditures, providing input and experience in prioritizing necessary expenditures and capital improvement projects. The promotion of water conservation and ensuring that all Cambrians have the opportunity to become involved and participate in the decision-making process. We thank you.
Thank you. With that, we'll close the public hearing, and I, as chair of the board, want to thank all of you for coming and making your comments. I'm positive I can speak for all of our colleagues. We would be delighted if this many people would show up at every meeting for each decision and to be involved and to be aware of what it is that we're doing. So thank you very much for your input. We'll close the public hearing and our comments from the board before we ask the general manager for any comments. I think it's just going to be a minute and we'll be done, I believe.
Our recommendation is to continue the meeting to Monday, July 21st at 5:30, so we have an opportunity to work with the California League of Women Voters. They have expressed their availability tomorrow, so we're going to be able to get on this before the end of the week or by the end of this week. Monday, July 21st at 5:30, the Vets Hall is not available because it has reservations for the rest of this month. So I'm recommending that we present the validation results, and if appropriate, to bring back the introduction of Ordinance 03-2008. So we will hold the meeting in Suite 204 with an audio recording of the meeting. And then we would follow up on July 31st, which is a Thursday, if the results come back that the protests are not valid, to adopt the ordinance, which falls within the 10-day period required for ordinance adoption. So those two dates are Monday, July 21st, for validation of the protest results and introduction of the ordinance, if appropriate, at 5:30 p.m., Suite 204, and then adoption of the ordinance on Thursday, July
31st. I thought the league is available tomorrow.
They are available to start tomorrow.
Oh, I see. Oh.
It took several days last time.
Yeah. Is the regular board meeting too late for this, the 24th?
Yes.
I should be away. Could I ask a question? Who is going to be present with the League of Women? What's your basic plan?
The last year in the process were the folks who certified the list, which are the same people who did it this year, which are the district clerk, who is the custodian of the ballots or the protest statements. Monique Madrid, who is also certified as a backup deputy district clerk, and the assistant finance manager, who's Pam Duffield. Those were the same three people who worked with the three representatives, as I recalled, from the league. Now, right now, we're having a little bit of staffing issues, so at any given time, depending on their availability, one staff member may not be in the room, so it may be that there may only be two of those people present. So.
And at the beginning of the count, before, when the procedure to set it up is done, I'm there at the beginning, and then once they start, I'm available in case there's a question. But no, I won't be there the whole time.
What about members of the public?
We have not allowed members of the public to attend, and we don't intend on doing it this time.
No board members, well, no staff?
No board members. Well, the staff that's there to validate.
But they're designated through a process.
Right. They're there to validate addresses and so forth of the N accounts.
That seemed to be a great concern of many of the people in the audience, and that would it be to our advantage to allow an overseer, just at least as an observer, in the situation. I see no reason why. What I kept hearing was, you know, what will be the criteria for counting the votes? And to not allow someone just to observe the process, I think is short-sighted on our part as members. I don't know that they need to have a vote in each one of them. I think we leave that to the League of Women Voters to make the decision, but not to have someone observe it.
Tradition, and I don't see why we can't accommodate at least one or two representatives from the community.
So you're talking about observe. Director Clift was talking about having a say.
No. I'm not saying they have a say in each individual vote, and no different than I think the clerk necessarily should have a say in each vote. If we're going to rely on the League of Women Voters as an impartial source, I think we have to verify that that's an impartial source, because otherwise, the next meeting, we're going to be sitting here and there's going to be a stream of people to this microphone that are going to say, how the hell do we trust you? Because that's what they were saying a lot of times here, if you don't allow us to participate some way in the process. And just to have someone see what happens, I don't see that as an anti-democratic process.
Any other comments on the suggestion?
I think it's obviously a valid point for if there's rejected ballots, to have those daylighted after the thing is over. Because that's really the only controversy, is if there's, you know, X number that are rejected, the question is why, and that's all that we all, any of us, have to deal with.
Because the criteria are pretty straightforward. Either they meet the criteria for filling out the form.
I think we're making way too much of this. My gosh. a couple of people who can watch. What's wrong with that?
I'm personally not disagreeing. I'm just trying to get us straight on what we do and what would be different people every day.
Let me suggest
same
something.
People all day.
I think we run into problems if we choose people. Either we open the doors and let people sit in the gallery and watch, and whomever wants to come can come. If we start choosing people, someone's going to say they're excluded.
That makes more sense.
Certainly they can't touch the ballots or participate in it or interfere with the count, because that's not the purpose of having people view the process.
And the same is true that the staff or the board members cannot interfere with it. It's we'll delegate it to the league. That makes more sense to me than.
So there's definite ground rules that any observers would not be interfering in the process.
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's with the registrar. If they allow public viewing, if they don't participate in the count or can interfere with the process either.
The only thing, perhaps, we limit by the space in the room. There may be, depending on how it gets set up. And
wouldn't be allowed to interfere. We wouldn't respond to questions. That's because we want to get the business done.
Right. And again, the decorum issue is talking, disrupting the work with, you know, noise or that kind of thing would have to be understood that people would have to observe quietly.
Let me just ask, there's no government code precluding observers, is it?
There's actually nothing regarding this type of count. There's things being considered by the legislature today, but nothing,
right now, no
nothing in effect that requires public participation or forbids public participation.
All right. So there's no reason to prevent it?
Yes, it's a policy decision of the board.
I join my colleagues.
Let's have a motion. Right. Let's just make an official action.
Sorry, I have my mic out. We can just take it as direction. It's obvious that it's going to pass. And,
okay.
The leader of the protest group seems to want to talk. Do you want to allow?
Public comment is closed. We'll have public comment when we're done.
It's not a public comment, Madam President. I'd like to just ask a simple question. The question is, how many protest votes did the CCSD receive at the district office, and are they here tonight?
Well, we're getting to that now.
I didn't know that.
We haven't finished our discussion yet.
I thought you wanted to talk on this issue.
He brought up an item that we're working through the agenda. Okay.
Okay, I propose that in order to avoid the procedural headache of deciding who to appoint or who's some group in Canberra is going to appoint, that we ought to have the first 5 or 10 people, depending on how much room we can accommodate, without making it burdensome on the League of Women Voters, who's my main concern. So I would say my suggestion is do we know what time the voting is going to start, the calculation?
We don't have an exact time. They're on notice when we call them.
Let's set one because we would call them tonight, and let's just set it for 11 o'clock.
Why so late?
Because they're going to have to gather up the troops tonight. They've already put some people on call, but they said that they could probably get 3 people together.
Okay, so my suggestion is the first 5 people.
We're talking off the record, but my thought would be that we're all familiar with how that room's set up.
Sure.
We could just leave an area which would be much more than 5 people.
Sure.
And set up a number of chairs. Whoever wants to come in and stay for any amount of time during that time could. And I don't want, I don't want to not take your direction, but 5 seems like a small number. If 20 want to show up, that's fine too.
That's fine as long as it doesn't, prevent the league from doing its business.
Yeah, I was there last time. I think Tammy came in and out occasion to see what's going on. We can set up in the back half the room without a problem, I believe.
Okay. Great.
All right. I think that we do have to do that report, the number of protests or support letters that came in during this time period.
As of today, before we came here, there were 23 that came in that are obviously unvalidated, but those are what were mailed to the CCSD.
And do we, thank you. And do we need a vote for agreeing about the meeting, next meeting dates?
Okay. Yeah. So we need to continue the meeting to Monday, July 21st at 5:30, and if necessary, to follow with adoption of the ordinance. That would give the validation of the results an intro, and then follow up on Thursday, July 31st, to adopt the ordinance.
Tammy, would you mind just sending out a confirmatory email tomorrow? I didn't bring any of my stuff.
Someone make a motion, please. You move that?
Is there? I'll be absent.
Oh, you'll be absent. Yeah.
I will be absent on the 21st.
21st. So three of us only will be.
I don't know. I didn't bring my my book. Is it you need a quorum? Can I go to my car?
You want to take like 5 minute break?
My wife is undergoing some.
We'll have a 5 minute break.
Extensive oral surgery that.
All right, so we need the motion then for the 21st. Did you already make that? I'm sorry. Yeah. There'll be three of us. The 21st, he didn't say. Time. Do we have a time?
5:30, suite 204 to continue the meeting. That's what the motion needs to be.
Okay. So 5:30, is that possible that you...
Yes, I can be there for the meeting.
5:30, okay.
I can't guarantee I can stay a long time, but I can be there.
It should be a long meeting.
I think it's just a 10-20-minute meeting, something like that.
Okay, I'll make that motion. Yeah.
Okay, and it's moved and seconded, I assume. Motion. Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion carried. I believe that concludes the business for the...
Except for public comment. Other announcements?
Yeah. Is there any other public comment that people would like to make? Just that an item's not on the agenda. No, I thought they were yours. All right, seeing none, the meeting is adjourned.